Well, we did it. Reclaim something that was very, very special to us. We thought we had lost it, but it was there. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and everything in between. This is episode number 458 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
How scared are you of other faiths? Maybe not for yourself, but how about for your kids? How about just around you, influences around you? How scared are you that other faiths may be domineering? I had this great opportunity this week to hear Yvette Hovsepian-Birs at an event sponsored actually by In His Shoes a couple days ago. And she shared a story of growing up in Iran and having a mom who was so humanitarian and so Christian-based as an Armenian minority that she allowed her child, namely her, allowed her daughter to go and mingle with the Muslims and actually be a part of their communities. And she confessed that, once I asked my mom, "Weren't you afraid that by allowing me to go into the mosque and to be among Muslims that they may try to convert me to Islam and I would lose my faith in Christ and abandon Christianity?" And I want you to hear this beautiful, beautiful response she got. She said, "My mother looked at me and in a gentle yet strong tone said that you know very little about your Christian faith. I have raised you to love Christ and know that he is your Savior, but he never asked you not to love and accept others or remain in your Christian bubble." Let me say that again. It's beautiful, okay? She said, "I raised you as a Christian. Jesus never asked you not to love and accept others or remain in your Christian bubble. How would you share his love with others if you do not understand how they worship and love God so that you can find that common ground to share and that common bond?" Wow. This was a lecture that we went to a couple days ago, and it really went beyond what I expected. And so much so that next week, I'm going to try very hard to bring Yvette Hovsepian-Birs. She's a professor. She has written about life in Iran, about the fundamentalists, about Islam, just a whole sort of things. And she has an incredible background in theology. And I asked her if she would come and share some thoughts. So hopefully next week, keep your fingers crossed, say an extra prayer. If not next week, then I'm determined to have her on with us. But I had to share that with you. It was just such a beautifully well-articulated thought, especially talking to our world today. But as much as I got excited about that, I am on a high right now, coming out of the Reclaim Conference. Oh, man. 3 days. Reclaim faith. Are you ready? That's what I'm going to share with you today, because we're still riding on a high on that. And I am inundated. I mean, literally, my inbox is packed with people writing letters. If you're on Facebook, you see the public displays of their appreciation, the public recognition of what happened these 3 days. It was a conference unlike any other. Unprecedented is just too simple of a way to describe it. It was not only unprecedented, it was historic in that it brought together so many different people. It brought together the church, the unchurched, the young and the old, basically what we look for here on The Next Step, you know, the neophyte, people who are searching for more answers in orthodoxy, people who are willing to challenge some of the thoughts in orthodoxy. People who are searching, people who have found, it was just a beautiful gathering of people. We'll put stuff on our show notes and definitely, you know, plug you in. I know so many of you wrote to me and said there is absolutely no way we can get down to Southern California. Now, do you remember a few months ago on my show I said, do everything you can to be here. Beg, borrow, steal, get your tickets to get out here and be part of this thing. And so don't say I didn't warn you, but you know how much I care about you, my Next Step listeners. So we're going to try to get these videos. Everyone who spoke, everyone who participated with a lecture or a presentation was recorded. And we're going to try to get those recordings to you soon. But I'm not really jumping on that as quickly as I should, because as I said at the conference, it wasn't about just 3 days of listening to lectures. It was really an experience to be there, to be with other people, to share, to really understand. And I want to talk a little bit about those experiences today, what I got from it, what I think most people were feeling thrilled about. I mean, what are we now? 4 days away from it? We ended Sunday. I'm still getting people who are saying, you know, we woke up this morning still elated. Like, did that really happen? It was miraculous. It was truly, truly miraculous. So where do I begin? Well, let me just pick a spot and begin. How about at the end? How about if we begin with the end, okay? Because I was in tears Sunday at the celebration of the Divine Liturgy. His Eminence Archbishop Hovnanian celebrated the liturgy with all of us priests there in attendance, and of course the conference attendees, and we had just so many young people who had come, young kids who had come for a Sunday school rally as well. Sunday morning started off, it was just beautiful, first of all. There were, and I, you know what, I want to do a shout out to a dear young man named Haydn. Because I started off with a small talk, sort of a rally. And I'm going to confess to you, it was also because the times were changing. We have something known as daylight savings time. And it's a horrible, horrible trick that they play on us, because they do it on a Sunday. And as a priest for the last 35 years, I've had to deal with this Sunday blues that you get. Because on this particular daylight savings time switch, there's also one in the fall in which you fall back. That one I love, because you gain an extra hour. And when you get to, it always happens, by the way, this is why I'm offended. It happens on a Sunday. The government does it on a Sunday. And hey, man, that's my group of people that you're dealing with, okay? So what happens in the fall? It's fantastic. People attend church, you know, an hour early. They get there early. But in this case, we're springing forward. We were going to lose an hour. So what happens is that people would come late. Yes, they would come late under old rules. Are you ready? Here's Father Voskin admitting how old of a guy he is, okay? I'm going to just share this with you right now. Because throughout the weekend, I kept telling people, don't forget, set your So, it was not only the weekend, for how many weeks I was telling all the organizers, we have to remind our people to set their clocks 1 hour ahead. Am I a fossil or what, man? Am I old or what? Guess what? You don't need to set clocks anymore. Everybody, just about everybody, tells time with their phones. And the phone companies coordinate it. It's all electronic. It's all digital. And you wake up Sunday morning and the time is already set for you. It's already done. Gone are the days where you had to set them late at night. Yeah, I know. There's a few of them around the house, especially the one on your oven, right? On your microwave. Okay, on your microwave. Those are the ones that you have to set manually. But most all the other clocks get changed automatically. And so here we were Sunday morning and people were coming on time. It was really great. Okay? I mean, no longer do you have to worry about that time change. It's just done for you. Unless you're an old guy and you're just dealing with clocks, which happened 2 days later. Tuesday morning, I had an appointment with a gentleman at 8 in the morning. So I got to his house and I rang on his bell. He says, "Is it 8 already?" And he was quite an elderly gentleman. And I said, "Yes, it's 8 o'clock. So he says, "All right, I'll be down in a few minutes." He didn't get to the door for about 20 minutes. 20 minutes I waited outside. Then when he came, he says, I don't know. He says, "I guess my clock's not working." And he showed me his watch on his wrist. And I go, "Heidi," I go, "you forgot to change the time." He had it was 7:20 on his wrist. I said, "You forgot to change the time." He says, "Oh, is it that time of year?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Oh," he says, "I forgot to do it." Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, he was close to, 89, 90 years old? Yeah, I'm not that old, but I still remember when you had to manually do it. Now you don't need to manually do it. So our Sunday morning at the conference began with this time change, but at the same time, it gave us an opportunity. That's what I was saying. I was kind of doing a filler spot because we recognized that people were going to be off on schedules. So I scheduled a small little filler where I would talk and explain the dynamics of the liturgy. And you know, I mean, this is nothing new to you new next steppers, but basically connect the dots in our faith and connect them not to 2,000 years ago Jerusalem, namely the birth of Jesus, but connect them to 13 billion years ago and go to the creation of all eternity, of what we know as the universe and perhaps the multiverse. Okay, it was really wild. And, I mean, it was wild. I had so much fun with it, and not realizing that I would have a chance to see it. And that's why I did a shout out to Haydn. Thank you so much. Haydn Morales, I think is his name. Young man who actually took out his phone and videoed it. So we do have a video of it. We do have a record of it. And if all goes well, we'll put it up on today's show notes. And if not, it'll be a couple days from now. We'll have it on the Armadoxy channel, on our YouTube Armadoxy channel. Do check it out. It was a lot of fun because I had a chance to do basically the whole gamut of things. What people have been asking for, are you going to be putting together a book? It's basically the outline, let's say, for the book on Armadoxy. That's what this lecture was. It's about a 40, 50 minute lecture. So, and I did it out in the sun. It was just gorgeous, gorgeous. I told you I wanted to start off our conference notes by starting off on that Sunday morning, because right after that lecture, we went into the main sanctuary, into the main cathedral sanctuary, and there we began the Holy Divine Liturgy with His Eminence, celebrating as the celebrant, all decked out. And I was in tears. I was in tears watching young people, watching the next generation of people walking into the church in procession, singing the praises, singing Harashapad. And His Eminence did something really beautiful. He invited kids, especially from the Sunday school, to come and to offer the gifts, namely the bread and the wine, as well as other natural items such as straws and flowers and light candles, for instance. It was just gorgeous. And they came into the singing of Yegeretzin Haigagan. This is a Vahan Tekeyan poem about the beauties and wonders, the mystery of the Armenian church. Got too many things to write over here, right? I hope you're writing that, Susie. Okay, yeah, because I want to put that on the show notes too. So the kids come in. The kids come in, and like I, for one, I don't know, I was just beside myself, didn't really look around how others were reacting, but I know it was just a general feeling in the entire sanctuary of victory. And His Eminence spoke about it happened to be the Sunday of the Prodigal, giving special dispensation. We had an open liturgy. In other words, an open mass, meaning that the curtain wasn't closed during Lent on this particular Sunday. And His Eminence referred to the prodigal son and the idea of reclaiming the church. And that's where I think all of us really felt the warmth, and all this work that we had put together just really started making sense. That this is the moment that we have reclaimed it. That there is a new generation that is plugged into it. A young man named Sevag Derderian, golden voice, yes, a young guy with a beautiful, beautiful voice, had assembled a small little youth choir. They sang Another Moment. I mean, I was just like an emotional mess. I'm just like crying away. And I got to be honest with you, it takes a while for me to get to that point, because I've shared with you too. Many times you get into a divine liturgy and you're doing so many other things that you're consumed with a lot of things on your mind that you find it difficult for you to spiritually engage with the songs and the rituals and the liturgy. This day, it was just beautiful. Everything just came together, and it clicked. Now, His Eminence, a couple days before, I had told His Eminence, I said, okay, this is done. We're finished. And then don't ask me, don't say. He says, no, you're gonna do another one, too. So he's up at the altar, and at the altar area, excuse me, and he is talking, and he's addressing the people, and he refers to the work that we had done. And he looks over, and the smile that he had, we connected at that level too. It's just like he knew he had me. He knew he grabbed me at that moment. I wasn't going to say no to another round of these, because it really made sense. We set out to reclaim the church, and here we were at the Divine Liturgy reclaiming our church. Just as the prodigal son came back and reclaimed his inheritance. Just as the father in the prodigal son reclaimed his son. So too we as the church had reclaimed our children. And this is an incredible battle that we're fighting day in and day out. And its only cure is for us to be vigilant about it and to be one step ahead. To listen to the challenge, to the command of Christ to go out and baptize people in my name, in the name of the Father and on the Holy Spirit, to go out to teach people all that I have commanded you, and to be certain that He is with us until the end of the ages. In other words, for us to react positively to that great commission. And I have to tell you, Sunday morning in that church, I felt like, okay, that great commission was being spoken to me and to many, many others that day, and we only could answer in the positive, in the affirmative. I'm going to take a little break. We have a song of the day for today, and then I'm going to come back and go into some of the details, some of the fun stuff that we did. We'll talk a little bit about the presentations, but I'll talk about some of the other things that went on during the conference. Private confession. Did you know we have private confession? Well, just wait 2 more seconds. We had with us Gor Mkhitaryan. I don't know. It was just great having him as one of the presentations. And he did share a lot from his life. and in particular from an album called Spirit, which we produced together back in 2009. Here's a song called Miracles, Harashk. Enjoy.
Ջուրն արդեն փոխակերպվեց, ազնվացավ, գինի դարձավ, խոսքն արդեն հիմնավորվեց, ապացուցվեց ու գործ դարձավ, մինչև այդ պահն անպատասխան հարցեր երկար շարան շարան Paragetan patasxaner verchnakan Okisa khavar mez inchkan der piti chenshes Yerkate gerkum sekh mez khextes pahes patsrashknast vatsayn aysore laitselets Inz azatets u hajortin patrastvets Չորացած ձեռքը բուժվեց, կենթանացավ, բռունցք դարձավ, հինգ հազար հոգի կերակրվեց, հինգ հացով, երկու ձկով, մինչև այդ պահն անպատասխան, հարցեր երկար շարան շարան, Արագտան պատասխաններ վերջնական Օգիսա խավար մեզ ինչքան դեռ պիտի չնշես Երկաթե գրկում խեղտես սեղ մեզ պահես Բայց հրաշքն աստվածային այսօր էլ այցելեց Ինձ ազատեց ու հաջորդին պատրաստվեց Հավար մեզ ինչքան դեռ պիտի չնշես Երկաթե գրկում սեղ մեզ խեղտես պահես Բայց հրաշքն աստվածային այսօր էլ այցելեց Ինձ ազատեց ու հաջորդին պատրաստվեց Օգիսա Հավար մեզ ինչքան դեռ պիտի չնշես Երկաթե գրկում սեղ մեզ խեղտես պահես Բայց հրաշքն աստվածային այսօր էլ այցելեց Ինձ ազատեց ու հաջորդին պատրաստվեց
Հրաշք, Miracle by Igor Mkhitaryan. Yeah, we had a chance to hear him perform this live just a few days ago. It was actually during his session. He was one of the presentations. And it was just beautiful. He spoke from his heart about the struggles that he went through and how music has been that spiritual that spiritual connection to his inner self. I mean, it was just really beautiful. I don't do justice by talking like this, but we did get a chance to meet somebody. I didn't think that there was a bigger fan, but there was a bigger fan in the audience. And she knew the songs because she requested, and he said, okay, I'll play it. And he picked up his guitar and he played Miracle. We got to hear him. But he also shared with us some of his personal stories, and that was very interesting, especially his mother was one of the organizers of the Pentecostal church back in the Soviet times in Soviet Armenia, mid-70s, and he was telling us about how difficult it was during those times, where anybody who had a Bible, even, it was a one-way ticket to Siberia, and the struggles and the difficulties just to get the word out, just to get the message of Christ out. So it was just beautiful hearing these stories and realizing how much we've gone forward, where we are, and this importance of being able to connect and share with one another our innermost difficulties, challenges, and how we overcome those challenges with this life through spiritual connection with the one who is greater than all of us, to something that is bigger than all of us. Gor Mkhitaryan, that is called Harash. It is off of the Spirit album, one which we produced together, and I felt bad because I had a box of these CDs that I wanted to take to the conference and share them with people who had come to his lecture, and unfortunately that box just stayed at my house. So listen, to my next step listeners, if you're interested in a copy of the Spirit CD, which probably you're not going to be because I know you already have it, next step listeners. But if you're new to this show, this was a CD that we produced a few years ago with the artist Gor Mkhitaryan. It is a spiritual album appropriately titled Spirit or Hoki. Be happy to send it to you for the cost of postage. Okay, how about if we do it that way? Just get on our website and hit on the donate button and send me a couple bucks for the postage and we'll be happy to put it in the mail and ship it off to you. Give us your address and we'll send it. Or just let me know, you know. If you see me, of course, it's yours. Just a wonderful, wonderful album. One that I am so proud to be a part of. And certainly, I feel very honored to have a friend such as Gor Mkhitaryan who puts together such quality music as this. So let me share with you right now what happened during that conference. It was wild. It was wild in every sense you could imagine. Like, it took you to different places. And, you know, go on the website and check out all the people that that presented. And I could go on and on about each and every one of them because it was unusual, this first one. I really basically called out all my friends, my family and friends who have been part of my ministry all along. And we had people like Gor Mkhitaryan, like I mentioned a few minutes ago. We had Adrian Krikorian. You know, here's a judge who goes out to Armenia and she creates the Medhuis. And Medhuis is actually saving lives of young girls who would otherwise be in trafficking, in the victims of human trafficking. We had Linda Maxwell with us, very, very dear friend of mine. We trace our friendship for about 20 years now, you know, and practicing Buddhist, not even Armenia, at least genetically. And yet she was at the conference to bring just this element of compassion, humanity, just a wonderful person. You know what? She's due for, I think I had her on the show many, many years ago. I'm going to make a note. I'm going to bring her, rather than talk right now, I'll bring her on the show in the next few weeks. But she was one of the presenters as well, and she talked about compassion and looking at the Armenian church from the outside in. We had Father Krikor Zakharyan. Oh, I did not get a chance to hear him. I had heard so much about him. And the only reason I didn't get a chance to go to his presentation was it was jammed. It was full. And it was wonderful. I mean, there was people who came out and kept saying how wonderful his class was. And at the end of the conference, when the Archbishop recognized all the speakers, this was one that got a standing ovation. So you know that he was touching people with his words and his gestures. Dear friend Shake Chilingirian came out from London, and she taught spiritual sacred dancing. Now, this is not just line dancing. It's just not a 1-2-3 kick kind of thing. It's about feeling the spirit, feeling the movement. And so if you went to her class, it wasn't just like, you know, here's the line dance, but it was this explanation and the importance of those movements. And this was very special to me because, you know, when we talk about, and you've heard me long enough to know that part of Armodoxy is about those movements, about being in sync with those movements, with the movements of the universe. And, you know, when you look at the entire universe, isn't it a wonder that the Armenian musical instrument is the duduk? You know, because when you hear the duduk, it really chimes in with that sound of the universe, basically the om, right? It's interesting, right, how it crosses along all boundaries, religious, ethnic, and so on. Dear friend Lori Tatulian. Now, Lori Tatulian was interesting because I had a chance to see her Big Bad Armo show just about a week ago. It was the first time after all these years. I mean, all my family members, everybody had gone, and I had never been to it. And so I had a chance to see her in the Big Bad Armo show. And a couple days later, she wrote to me. She said, "Don't worry, it won't be anything like that. I will tame it down." And there wasn't anything that I was worrying about because Lori, I've been a fan of hers way from long ago, and she's just so creative energy, talent, and she brought it all together too. So these were like some of the people that spoke. Melina Sardar, I mean, here's a life coach teaching people about how to live, where to go, and what directions and stuff. She gave of herself. And from family wise Can I say how proud of a dad I was? My son Vaderjan presented on Armenian architecture. And both of his classes, I couldn't get into the first one. It was packed. The second one, I kind of went there early just to make sure that I got a seat in there. And I did. And I was getting really upset because people were coming in late. And I felt like, okay, I've got to give up my seat. And I held on to that seat as long as I could. And toward the end, I stood up for one person who came in. Well, this one I had to, because it was a cute little baby that came in with parents. And I said, "Please take the seat." No. So the mom sat down, and I still retained my seat. And I got to hear this incredible lecture. Man, just like he was going off, talking about how he was approaching Armenian church architecture in particular, and calling it the place where God lives, and talking about it coming from the standpoint of a deacon, as an architect, as somebody who understands the sacredness of these spaces. It was just an enlightening few minutes that we were there. Of course, Gor Mkhitaryan, I told you he spoke and he presented. Jeff Hazarian, here's a CFO, right? Okay, of a large company that does embedded software. And he's a deacon of the church. And he talked about ethics in the workplace. Ethics. You know, somebody slips you something and says, "Do this way, you know, do it that way." How do you play your faith card in the daily dealings of life? Professor Dekmejian from USC came and talked about a new agenda for the Armenian church. Here's a guy who has been through a really remarkable story. I have known him for the last 20 years. Personally, I mean, we knew earlier, but for the last 20 years, we have served together in a few different churches, whether in Pasadena or in Glendale. And here's a remarkable man who has lived through the recent history of the Armenian church and knows the players and knows the dynamics of it. So his lecture was just truly enlightening because he's giving you a new agenda. And really, it's the game plan. It's the game plan that all you really need to do is pick it up. Now, can you get somebody to pick it up and follow it? That you're going to have to decide, because in your communities, I know you're listening out there in South America, in Africa, whether it's in Egypt, in the Middle East, you're there in Europe, you're there in different communities in America listening to this podcast, and you hear the stuff that we say over here, and people always come back to me. You write to me, you share your thoughts with me, and you say, how can we make the change in our particular community? Well, let me tell you this, okay? Let me give you a disclaimer. What I talk about the Armenian church, I'm talking about stripped away of all the hoopla, stripped away of all the politics, okay? Basically, the essence of what the Armenian church is. Yes, you do need those politics, and by that, I'm not talking about politics as you understand it or I understand it in daily conversation, but the politics of understanding that there are people who are running it. So you need to be able to figure out which buttons to press on people to get them to do the work that you want to direct it. And in anything, that's not just about the church, anything you want to do in business, in your work, in your family life, right? I mean, at the very simplest times, I mean, as a child, you know that if you want something, you there's ways of approaching your parents, right? And, you know, if you go up to your parents and say, I want this, they're not going to give it to you. But if you make those giant big eyes and just look at them and, oh, Mom, please, you know that there is ways. That's playing politics, right? That's playing the politics of family life. And in anything, you want to make things happen. And so I offer that as a disclaimer that, you know, as you're look at what we're presenting over here, what we're presenting to you, it's like you have to be able to understand that there's ways of implementing it. A couple other priests that were with us too, Father Tatius Abdalian. Let me go through a couple of the priests. Really fascinating. Here's a priest from the Eastern Diocese who serves as a police chaplain. He rides along on police cars. He's got adventures in the police. Talked about the call of the Holy Spirit. Father Avedis Abovian, one of a few young priests who have really pushed it to the limit. He was one who actually walked across America with a small team several years ago, and we had him part of the Inner Shoes experience about 10 years ago, so he spoke to a gathering of young people about that. He was talking about raising children with Christian values, something that a lot of people came out for. A lot of people at least told me that, you know, this is so important. We need this kind of messaging. Father Mesro Bash, one of the young priests of our diocese from San Francisco, came down and he spoke about he binds the singles. Talking about God. He binds the singles. This was guidance in the pursuit of love. I got to be honest with you. I really wanted to use a catchy thing like finding the right partner in life. And he called me and he said, Dead-eyed, he says, I think it's kind of like a hokey title you put to it. And he says, let me suggest this title. And he was absolutely right. You know, it is like a more of a appropriate title. So he spoke about basically the guidance in love, you know, and in partnership, and just beautiful. My sister was there, Anush. Honestly, yeah, people coming up to her. And, you know, not only to her, to me, a lot of people who are coming up and talking about the podcast. And I'll share that with you in a couple minutes. But Anush, of course, she used to do the Pomegranate podcast. And she's got blogs going on and all kinds of things. She talked about prayer. And she talked about prayer from a very special angle, namely the 24 prayers of St. Nersis Shnorhali. I confess with faith, Havadov Chostovanim. These are individual prayers. They're very unusual in that you have a set of prayers that are individual as opposed to collective prayers, you know, where you say as a group. But individual prayers that St. Nersis Shnorhali wrote, and she talked about the power of it. She had some great giveaways too, which I feel bad that I didn't go. And, you know, of course, would have loved to have heard my sister, but I didn't get one of the giveaways, which there were a lot of. Our dear friend Gregory Baylarian, you know him. He spoke about art and spirituality. We had a priest come down from Canada, Father Vazgen Boyajian, and he spoke about pilgrimages, and he led a hike. And that's probably the place where we need to divert to right now, okay? Well, let me see. Who else? Oh, Susan Ungen. Susan Ungen, I think I shared with you in the past. I mean, this was pretty wild. Susan Ungen, 18 years ago, her husband had a massive stroke, and yet She has never once complained about it, just been with him through the ordeal and through many, many difficulties and challenges, and been a support to him, and still manages to come and greet you with a smile and a praise to God. Here's a beautiful story, and we called that In Sickness and in Health, Loving Through the Worst of Times, or Till Death Do You Part. So that's basically the rundown of the presentations of presenters. Well, of course, we had people like Father Mardy Roschevian, who was the dean of the St. Narcisse Seminary. He came and spoke about hearing the call of God. And again, another opportunity for people to connect at a different level. But beyond that, we gave an opportunity to experience the Armenian Church. We have, for instance, Paul Terpanjian, who had produced a show, a movie, a documentary movie called Crows of the Desert. And this was a movie that was a documentary about a real hero who had journeyed through the Armenian genocide. And I know a few people asked me, like, do we need to put a genocide movie in this incredible curriculum? But I'll tell you, I was really one of the first people who did not want to have this. But kind of evaluating it now in retrospect, the genocide is part and parcel, okay, of our identity, whether you like it or not, good or bad, you know, it is there. And it's the, you can't, what is the expression? The elephant in the room, you know, you can't have a conference without addressing this very important component that is part of your makeup. I mean, basically you are standing in a place called Burbank, California because of this genocide. And, you know, there is a diaspora because of this genocide. And so it was just a wonderfully well-prepared movie, Crows of the Desert. I highly recommend it. Let's see if we can. We'll put a link on today's show notes. And by the way, go on embracing-faith.com. You'll not only see the things about the conference, but there's a great booklet on there too. The electronic version of the program, the booklet, it has the histories and it has the bios of everybody that I just talked about, as well as information about what happened at the conference. Now, part of the conference, as I said, was this experience. And people came up to me and they said, can we come for one day? Can we come for one show? Yeah, you can, but you're not going to get the experience. And here's how it ran. That first evening, we went out after the keynote address. We went outside. And there under the beautiful stars, we had a starlight concert. And it gave people a chance to meet one another. My dear friend Linda Maxwell had prepared these beautiful cards along with her partner Jose Quintanar. These beautiful, beautiful cards. And she passed them out to everybody. And it was to express your faith. And she said, you can keep the card or you can throw them in a bonfire, which we had built over there. Now, I don't know how many people put it in the fire. I could not, because they were so beautifully prepared. And let me see. Maybe we can make that today's cover, because it was just so beautifully done. And we got a chance to talk about faith at that level. You know, what does it mean to write about the faith? What does it mean to hang on to the faith? Think about the metaphor of throwing the card into the fire. And to losing your faith, or burning it, or letting go of the faith. What are all these things? Maybe the preconceptions that we have that we need to let go of. That was very beautiful. Shaki Chilingirian from London, she was there. So as Gor Mkhitaryan is playing music under the stars, Linda's passing out these cards. People are discussing issues of faith. Shaki Chilingirian gets up and leads a line dance around the fire. And at that moment, Gor Mkhitaryan goes into Gumidas Vartabed's Gakavik. So you have a bunch of people outside singing. Wild! I mean, this is what I mean. It's an experience. Now, you can't do that in a classroom. You can't do it by saying, hey, I'm going to come for one session. This is the full impact of this of this moment. You know, you gotta be there at that moment. And that's how we began the conference after the keynote address. And you know what? My keynote address, I'm not going to talk about here because there were so many little intricacies of it that I do want to get into it in more detail, because it really talks about the state of the church and where we are as people. So I'm going to see if I could post that separately and make a separate post about it. But after the keynote, we went outside, and this is how we started off the conference. You know, the next morning was just the same. It's not anything you can just go and attend. But we had this bus that pulled up in front of our church at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know. And there we were, 6:30. Father Vazgen Boyajian from Canada. He runs a group called High Hikers in Canada, okay? And he goes out on these hiking expeditions and he talks about God. So why not? Here we are in California. And by the way, he was so impressed by the California hills. He says, oh, it was like heaven for him. So he took a group up hiking, 55 in all, 55 Armenians going up to this hill to sing and to praise and to pray together, to be together. It was just beautiful. Okay. You can't go to a classroom and get that. Throughout the days, we had these presentations, but we also had two father confessors, Father Sarkis Petoyan from Pasadena and Father Serope Alanjian from Santa Clarita. I mean, couple priests that all they did was listen to confessions. Now, I know we have a lot of Catholic listeners. I don't know if Episcopals, I know we have Episcopal listeners if private confession is part of the deal. But in our Armenian church, and my speculation is that we don't have the practice of private confession because of the lack of priests. Basically, the number of priests that we lost after the genocide, and here we are today, and we're standing there and really trying to put it all together with one priest in a parish, where in certain parishes there should be 5-6 priests, all of them helping and working together. So we had two priests that offered private confession throughout the day. And I just spoke with Father Serope this morning. He said, so how did it go? This is like 4 days afterwards, because I haven't heard from him. He said it was nonstop people coming in for confession. And he offered the sacrament of penance. Here's a sacrament that not too often is delivered. You know, we talk about the 7 sacraments. Well, the big ones everybody knows, of course, Holy Communion and baptism. We know about holy matrimony. We know vaguely about holy orders because we see it every so often. We know about extreme anointing because we refer to it in the sense of a last rites. But when it comes to penance, that's an interesting one. Penance is not just the confession. It's not just being absolved of sins, but to actually do something to right that sin. Okay. I stole a loaf of bread from the store. What would the penance be? I'm using a very obvious, a big one, right? Yeah. Go and say, I'm sorry, and take them the loaf of bread, or return or give them payment for the loaf of bread. Okay. Same way in our life, we've done something wrong. What is the penance that we have to pay for that? And a priest helps out in delivering that sacrament. So these were the events that took place around all the things that were happening. And like I said, it was just magical. It was mystical. And no, yeah, thank you. No, you couldn't attend all of the events, all of the speakers. It was impossible because we were running with all the speakers that you heard. We were doing each person gave 2 presentations. And if you multiplied that out and how it worked is basically we had 5 presentations competing against one another, something for everybody. So people made their own lists, and a lot of people are waiting for it to come out in video format to watch it. And that'll be something that could continue. We were very excited. Reclaim, embracing our faith in changing world. The world is certainly changing. When you look at the different tides, when you look at the different flows of things that are happening all around us, it is a wonder if we can keep our faith. But even more important to us is, can we live our faith? And that's the challenge of reclaim. It's not just about saying that I belong to this church, but that church helps me and directs me in my life, in everything that I do. And so reclaim became a conference. It became a metaphor for something much bigger, for us to connect to something beyond ourselves, to connect to that church, which we love and we care for. And really, it was an opportunity for us to celebrate our spiritual side, that we are spiritual beings, that we do have a spirit that needs nurturing, that needs care, that needs nutrition. And we got that nutrition, and we were able to celebrate that spiritual side of our life. That was it. Reclaim. We reclaimed it. We embraced our faith in this changing world. There are all kinds of stuff on today's show notes. I'll try to pack it up, do some reading, ask me questions, be happy to answer them. And let's take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that reminder. And thank you, all of you, for your prayers, your support. I was so happy we saw Janina Nicholas at the conference. Yeah, that was really cool. Big-time supporters of our ministry for the past several years, especially through these podcasts. And I think the other thing that was really exciting for me was just to realize how many people are really out there listening to these things, people who were turned down because of our media presence, because of what we're doing through the podcast, through our videos. And yes, don't embarrass me. There was like a little mini semi-celebrity status of people coming. Can we take a picture with you? Yes, you can take a picture with me. That was fun. Yes, I'm embarrassed right now. Yes, I got red cheeks. I'm glad it's a audio cast and not a video cast. Okay. But Ken was there, and Ken just really, really enjoyed it. He doesn't get out too much to public things because of his late night shifts. And so he really made an effort to block out his time for the last few months and make sure that he blocked out this entire weekend. And I appreciated him being there. Nice to see you, Dad, during the day and not just a nighttime shift kind of thing. It was just a wonderful gathering, and it was a wonderful way for us to connect with people who do listen to The Next Step. And I thank you. I don't know what to tell you. I am so moved. It seemed like every day lately, it seems like I'm finding out more and more people are listening to The Next Step, are connecting through The Next Step. And we are really basically creating this virtual community that is out there that people can connect to us via the internet. What a marvelous way to do it. Because so many times we find that churches become stifling. I mean, there's certain mechanics and certain drama that goes with those churches. And you need a place where you can get spiritual nourishment. And this does not replace the community. The community is very essential. and you need to plug into a local church. You know what? In fact, lately, because I'm outside of parish worker now and working at the diocese, people will come up to you, to me, and say, will you do our marriage counseling? Will you work with me and my fiance on our marriage counseling? And I say, you know, that's great. I would love to. But honestly, you need to connect into a community. It's not just about meeting with me and meeting the two of you, but it's about you connecting with a bigger community. And so definitely this is not a replacement for church, but it also is a replace at the same time. It also is a replacement for church, a place where we congregate and we learn, a place where we congregate and we spiritually experience something beyond ourselves. And that's what I'm finding, that basically Armadoxy is a truth, and it's a reality that people are plugging into. Again, you know, you're not going to be able to reach out to people, but until you make that commitment yourself to say that, okay, I'm going to go and rally a group of people. And the churches have to be those places where we do it. You can't give up on the church. Because that's what we found out through the Reclaim Conference. There are so many people out there who are just desiring and looking for a way to reclaim something that they have lost. I'm going to end today's podcast with a very beautiful story that came to me as I prepared for the Reclaim Conference. It came to me from the Gospel of St. Luke. It's the story of Jesus at the temple. And it occurred to me that, you know, here was Mary and Joseph. They had gone to Jerusalem for a feast and had turned back to go back home to Nazareth. And one day into their journey, they realized that they had left Jesus back in Jerusalem. They realized it because something was missing from their life, something very precious, namely Jesus. And they spend 3 days, not only going back, 3 days looking for him until they find him in the temple. And Jesus, of course, says, why are you scared? You know, why? Where would I be? I'm in my Father's home. And I use that as the metaphor for Reclaim. We go on our lives and we forget that, you know, we have to take something very, very precious with us, namely Jesus. We cannot leave him behind. But we do. We do because we're just so consumed with ourselves and our lives. Just like Mary and Joseph. It wasn't that they were bad parents. It wasn't a home alone syndrome, but no. They were consumed with being with their people and moving forward and getting back home. And so in the caravan, it's not, you know, the caravan, they were with a group of people. Jesus was with his young kids, with his friends out in the front. And, you know, and Mary and Joseph assumed that Jesus was with the kids. Instead, he was back home. He was back in Jerusalem. And it's the same kind of thing. We assume that Jesus is walking with us and is going along the way. We don't make the conscious effort to look for him. And when we realize that he's not there, it means we need to turn back, go against the flow, and go back, find him, and put him and plug him into our life. That's what this Reclaim was about. That's what we need in our lives. That's what I think Armadoxy is about. That's what the whole goal of the Next Step programming is. That's what Epostle was created about. No different than the original intent of the apostles. And that's why we say it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. I'm going to call it a day right now. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to remind you that if you go on epostle.net, you will find all the shows from the beginning of time. Yes, what are we at right now? 458. You will find 457 other shows on the website. And I'm saying this because I found out at the conference, people binge on these. They binge on, especially the Lenten Journey. We found so many people that were doing the Lenten Journey and they had to catch up for some reason or another, and they would binge on them. But the Next Step too, there are binge listeners to the Next Step. And I want to thank you all for the support, for that confidence, and for walking with us on this journey. Get in touch with us at all the usual places. emails at feedback@apostle.net. We are on the net. We are on Facebook quite extensively, on Instagram. We do have a filter on Snapchat, too, for the Reclaim Conference. Anyway, we're all over the place. And do check out today's show notes. You'll find lists and things to do, places to click and hyperlink to. Okay? You like that term, too? For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath. Cut out!